Well, this is the last session I'm going to do on this particular subject. There's other things we could keep going on and on with, but I think we've pretty well gotten a feel for a lot of the things that are leading up very definitely and seem to be setting the table, if you will, for the return of Christ. And so we want to look at today just kind of to wrap up our part in what we're going to do with the idea of things that are really laying the foundation for one-man rule. When I was a boy, we used to have a prophecy preacher who was very famous on the West Coast, Dr. Howard C. Estep. He's originally from Tennessee, and he wrote a lot of books. I don't know if many of them ever got back this way. Pastor Rowe was familiar with him. But he was very, very famous, had a radio ministry all over America called The News and Revelation, went on television in Southern California for a while. And my father had been friends with Howard Estep for a number of years, and then as I got older, got very interested in these things, he and I became friends, and I actually did some things with him on the radio, and for a time anyway, considered becoming part of his ministry, the World Prophetic Ministry. And I remember when Dr. Estep used to come to our church, and of course, just as he would talk about end time events and just, he was just a tremendous speaker. We kids were just fascinated by all of this. And I can remember him talking about the Antichrist, a man who would gain rule, you know, worldwide rule. Perhaps the Antichrist is not going to have absolute control over the entire earth, but over much of it. And he certainly is going to impact the entire earth. And I can tell you, as a boy, it was very hard for me to envision how one man could do that. But today it's pretty easy to envision how one man could do that. When you think of the technology that makes it possible, all the things that are off of satellite communication technology, and I've listed just a few, worldwide cell phoning from even remote regions. We have taken cell phones when we've traveled overseas. You actually now a lot of your cell phones will work in many countries overseas. But 10 years ago in some of the places I've traveled, in Russia and India, you don't need cell phones. For 50 cents, you can, you know, there's public phones everywhere. You can call anywhere in the world. It's quite an elaborate system. And in Russia, we actually paid to get a global cell phone while we were there. And even in Siberia, you know, way out in the pucker brush, we could make calls with that cell phone because of satellite technology. It's an amazing thing. Just you think of all the things that can be done with a cell phone now. All the information, you can access the internet with one. You know, I mean, you can take pictures with one if you want. But, you know, you've got CNN. CNN was quite a revolutionary thing when it first came on the air. Cable news network and the 24-hour-a-day news, and with satellite, the ability to almost instantaneously coverage worldwide events no matter where they were. Amazing thing. Now that's commonplace, and you have many networks that do this. Instant TV broadcasts of worldwide events. GPS. That used to be strictly a military technology. It used to be that only the military pioneered that, and I think a lot of it through the space program. But for years, military planes were piloted, and their positions were plotted by GPS. Well, now it's standard technology. Now you can hold it in your hand. Now it's in your cell phone. You know, you literally could have your cell phone tell you turn right, turn left, go here. You're there. You know, you're 100 yards from there. Unbelievable. And then, of course, the internet itself and just the access to literally billions of pieces of information, you know, and unfortunately some of it very wicked. But add to that the ability and this is a bad thing since the economic crisis. USA Today said the other day that the threat from cyber criminals stealing computer information and running computer scams has almost quadrupled. Because people are desperate, they're looking for jobs, so criminals have seized the opportunity to try and scam desperate people. But, you know, with the internet, my daughter Sarah got a virus, a Trojan horse on her computer here a couple of years ago. My sister's quite computer literate and did a lot of things for the city of Riverside, taught computers, and she's very, very good. It took my sister 2 days, working, you know, when she was off, 2 days working almost all day to get that virus. And my sister knows how to track down the source of viruses. And she said my daughter Sarah's computer there in San Bernardino, California, was being controlled by somebody in Buenos Aires, Argentina. That's the way she was able to track down where it was being controlled from. Stealing information, stealing identity. And you've got to have just all of this virus, you know, McAfee and Norton and all this virus protection to keep people from getting into your computer and stealing all your personal information, from Social Security number to all your computer codes, and literally running criminal scams that you don't even know about using your computer as like an email laundering type operation, having a network of computers all over the world that's being run for some place like Argentina doing criminal scams, and your computer's part of the email laundering device, and you don't even know it. It is just, the technology is incredible. And add to that, you know, the one missionary Larry was talking about traveling from Togo and Ghana to South Africa. Well, not too many years ago, that would seem like traveling to another planet. Now it's a few hours. You know, and within 24-hour day, you could be anywhere in the world now. It's just unbelievable. Technology. It's easy to see now how a person can run the whole earth with the technology. Now, as we have the rise in technology, we also have the increase of worldwide chaos, instability, disorder. And what's that bringing about? That is bringing about a growing worldwide outcry, and we're now experiencing this in our own country. We have been experiencing it for a few decades to a degree, but now it's just a chorus. I mean, it's a cry for the government to intervene and rescue us and to bring relief to the chaos, to save us from ourselves, if you will. And so government responds by taking control of more and more commerce and industry. What we are witnessing in the United States of America right now is a government takeover of much of this country. Government's already been subtly doing that in a lot of ways, but now because of chaos, instability, disorder, people are crying for the government to intervene and take these things over. That all plays into Revelation chapter 13, which talks about the beast and the false prophet causing people to receive the mark of the beast that they could neither buy nor sell. They could not engage in commerce without government sanction, government approval. That's just government ownership, government control, and you've got to have your license, your ID, to prove who you are and prove that you've paid your dues and paid your taxes and paid your fees and you're signed up and you're registered to be able to engage in commerce. What is happening in America right now has been happening in Europe for some time, has been happening in Britain for some time, has been happening, you know, we've held out really in the capitals. We're one of the last to surrender. This has been happening in other countries for overseas for some time. And it's all setting the table for the government to control all commerce, all buying and selling, mark of the beast. And then you have government control of health care. Now, folks, that's power when the government can deny you health care. That is power, okay? You do about anything to get health care, won't you? Government control of health care. We'll be lucky if we get out of this current presidential administration without that happening, because that is a goal. That's the goal of the current administration, is government take over the health care system. That's a stated goal. And then you have the illegal alien terrorist infiltration problem, bringing again about a national identity system for security, mark of the beast. That's coming. It's been talked about for years and years and years. Basically, your Social Security number, for all practical purposes, is a national identity number, because you can't do much of anything without your Social Security number. But they've talked about national identity card, all of the talks. There's been much talk for years about embedding small chips and things like that, where you can have your hand scanned and prove that you're a U.S. citizen, prove who you are, and have all, you know, and they scan your hand and all of your information, your personal information comes up on computer. That's been talked about for years. They're going to have to do something like that at some point, again, because of the flood of illegal aliens, but also security, terrorists coming in and out of our country, the 9/11 type things. It's going to come. It's going to happen. It's all setting the table. for one-man rule. That a man can literally run a government machine, that he can get information on anybody in the world as to what they're doing. He can control all commerce, as well as what we always thought a man like that would do, have control of the military. In such crisis times, just like the Pied Piper, and we're seeing it happen in the U.S. right now, in such crisis times, just like the Pied Piper, people will follow any eloquent, charismatic leader who promises solutions to these terrible problems. When people are afraid, when people are anxious, they're eager to listen to anybody that says, I can fix it. Whether they give any specifics on how they're going to do that or not, they're eager to listen to it. They need hope. What are some recent historical examples that prove this can happen? Adolf Hitler, the National Socialist Party of Germany, the Nazis. You remember all the Nuremberg rallies? Have you seen the historical footage on various channels of the Nuremberg rallies? A million people brought to Nuremberg, all of them chanting Sieg Heil and all of this, and just almost a cult-like. You know, Adolf Hitler basically developed a personality cult in Germany. And it grew. What you got to understand is the whole thing grew out of a broken Germany. Broken and devastated by its defeat in World War I and through the Versailles Treaty that was done at the end of World War I that fragmented Germany. Hitler used all of that. The people were frustrated. Germany had been de-armed. Their armed forces had been decimated. The country had been decimated. The economy had been decimated. And it was out of that that Adolf Hitler stepped up and promised answers and promised to bring self-esteem back to Germany and to rearm Germany and to give Germany power in Europe again. The people hungered for someone to pull the country together because it was in a mess after World War I and after that defeat. And he stepped into the vacuum. You see, that's when these leaders can come to power, is when there's chaos and instability and disorder and people are afraid and losing hope. Mao Zedong did the same thing in China. The people were terribly frustrated with the corrupt policies of Chiang Kai-shek. And so Mao Zedong played on that and started what he called a people's revolution for the people to take control of the country. That meant the communist leaders. And so there was a revolution there. Vladimir Lenin, Russia had been involved in two wars. And in 1904 through 1905, the country suffered a heavy defeat by Japan. 400,000 men were killed, wounded, or captured. And the material losses to Russia were valued at 2.5 billion gold rubles. Even greater losses were suffered in World War I when Russia entered on the side of the Allies on August 1, 1914. Russia lost territory. They experienced massive casualties in World War I. There was confusion at home. And all of that was a breeding ground. Instability, disorder, confusion, frustration, fear. All of that was a breeding ground for Vladimir Lenin to overthrow the last of the Romanov czars, Nikolai II, and lead the communist revolution in 1917. This has happened throughout history. So what we're talking about that has happened regionally in large regions of the earth is going to happen globally when we come to the end of time with the Antichrist. Now, what's the personality? What does the Bible tell us the personality of the coming world leader is going to be? And again, you've seen this in history, in these various leaders. And I heard Erwin Lutzer advance an interesting theory that made sense to me when I heard it. Erwin Lutzer said, you got to remember, Satan does not know the day nor the hour of the return of the Lord. So he said, throughout history, starting with Nero, back in the time of the apostles, he said, throughout history, Satan has always had men in the wings ready to be the Antichrist had Jesus returned, or had things come to a culmination and leading up to the return of the Lord at that time. Of course, God has sovereignly driven everything, and you know, Satan has played into God's sovereign plan while he's trying to do his own evil things. He can't overthrow the plan of God. But Lutzer said Satan doesn't know when the Lord's going to return. He can look at things and all of that like we can, but he said he's had people lined up throughout history. He said Hitler, you know, Nero, you know, you just go right through history, these various leaders. lined up and ready and waiting in the wings if that were the right time. I don't know if that's absolutely true, but you know what? It makes sense when you think about it. And Erwin Lutzer's a sharp cookie. He's quite a good Bible teacher and student. He's no dummy. And so, I think his theory made a lot of sense there. But obviously the Bible tells us that this coming world leader is going to be very, very charismatic, and he's going to exude confidence. Okay, he's going to come across confident that he has the answers. Daniel 7:8, I've got up on the screen. Daniel says, "While I was thinking about the horns," that's the vision of the 10 horns, "there was before me another horn, a little one, which came up among them, and 3 of the first horns were uprooted before it." Now this horn, it's referring to the Antichrist, "this horn had eyes like the eyes of a man," now watch this, "and a mouth that spoke boastfully," exuding confidence. "I've got the answers. I'm the one who can bring hope." Revelation 13:5, speaking of the beast, the Antichrist, it says he was given a mouth to utter proud words. A mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise his authority for 42 months. Secondly, the Antichrist in his appearance and demeanor will be an imposing figure, probably a very attractive individual on the outside, but a very imposing figure, and he will stand out among all other world leaders. Daniel 7:20. Daniel says, "I also wanted to know about the 10 horns on its head and about the other horn that came up before which 3 of them fell, the horn that looked more imposing than the others." So he stood out among all the other kings. He stood out among all the other leaders as someone special. Thirdly, he will be a smooth, cunning leader. He will get what he wants by clever political manipulation and maneuver. Daniel 7:8, "I consider the horns and behold," and I use the English Standard Version here. I like the way it reads a little bit better. "I consider the horns and behold, there came up among them another horn, a little one, before which 3 of the first horns were plucked up by the roots." Now he doesn't do this through any type of military action against those kings. Clearly he does it through maneuver and manipulation. He overcomes them through cunning. And that's not hard to see. And I'm not at all, I'm using an illustration here, and it's an illustration you could use with any of our presidents that have been sharp politically, okay? But Barack Obama is in the process of trying to pull off a political maneuver, if you're following this and you follow politics at all, that I had to say, man, is that sharp. Man, is that smart. He is trying to get a Republican to leave his Senate post and take a lower-level cabinet secretary post, Secretary of Commerce or something like that. Now, here's what he's going to accomplish if he can pull this off, and I'm betting he will. Okay, number one, he's going to be able to show that he's bipartisan. He's bringing a Republican in, okay? But here's what he's really after. If he gets that guy, and it's New Hampshire senator, I believe, if he can get that guy out of his Senate seat into the cabinet, the Democratic governor of New Hampshire is going to appoint a Democrat to that Senate seat, and he's going to have his 60 filibuster-proof Senate so he can do anything he wants. Now, that is shrewd. I don't like it. But it is shrewd. It is cunning. Let me tell you something. Whether you agree with Barack Obama's policies or not, that guy is smart. That guy is sharp. Okay, he really is a smart politician, much like Reagan was and Bill Clinton was, and some of these others. I looked at that and I thought, man, I hope that doesn't happen, but boy, that's smart. Wow, is that politically astute and cunning. Just if I can raise this up some. Maybe give Rick a little help over there. And see, the Antichrist will be that to an nth degree. Be able to just politically maneuver and pull things off that a lot of people aren't seeing. And it'll just be incredible, you know, consolidating his position. Number four, as he gains in power, he will become increasingly tyrannical and cruel. As he consolidates his power and he's confident now, he's gotten things in his hands, then he's going to start bullying. Then he's going to start, you know, just saying this is how it's going to be and using that power to push things through. Daniel 7, verse 25 in the English Standard Version. Thus he said, as for the fourth beast, it shall devour the whole earth and trample it down and break it into pieces. This is the personality of this one world ruler. Now let's talk about the rise of this ruler. He will be politically inconspicuous at first. In prophetic imagery, he's the little horn. He's not one of the big horns initially. He's the little horn who grows to become a big horn. He may attract little attention initially as he is consolidating his power base. Number two, and again, you can just by way of illustration, just so we can see how these things work, you can again actually see that in the last election. Nobody gave, well, look at Jimmy Carter, for example. But also, nobody gave President Obama a chance against Hillary. Hillary was the big horn, okay, so to speak, in just giving you an illustration. And nobody gave President Obama a chance, but he grew into the big horn just through his cunning and just his skill and all of that. And so you see leaders doing this. Leaders, I mean, it's something that we see, how men can do this and women can do this. And it's going to be the same way someday when the Antichrist comes on the scene. You may not notice him at first. People may not take him seriously, but he's going to be so skilled and so sharp and so tremendous. He's going to, you know, gain more and more political base and power and strength, and all of a sudden there he is. Secondly, he will emerge from a Gentile nation. Now, there's always been all this speculation that he'll be Jewish, and it just doesn't appear that that's what the scriptures teach. When you look at Revelation 13, it says that the beast is going to rise up out of the sea. Now, that's biblical imagery for the mass of humanity, the Gentile nations. And so it appears from that passage he's going to come from the Gentile nations. I have actually heard when I was younger, you know, some write books and theorize he was going to be an Israelite. Well, no, he's going to come from the Gentile nations, and he's going to make a treaty with Israel. He's going to, and the scriptures in Daniel seem to indicate, he's going to emerge from the revived Roman Empire area, which would be Europe, maybe the European Union. And then he will be spiritually blasphemous. Spiritually blasphemous. Again, when we look at politics today, it's not hard to see how this can be and how it's going to be accepted. It's already being accepted, okay? When you look at the direction politics is heading in our own country, in earlier decades, there is no way that Barack Obama could have been a serious candidate for president with his longtime ties to men like Jeremiah Wright, who's tightly tied to Louis Farrakhan, who hates Jews and hates whites and hates just about everybody. You know, Farrakhan is at the opposite end of the pole of the Ku Klux Klan. There are two opposite ends of the pole. And you know, in earlier decades, there's no way that someone tied to people like this, and to Father Flager, okay, there in Chicago, could even consider public office any more than David Duke was able to make it in Louisiana in his Senate seat because of his ties with the Ku Klux Klan. And he shouldn't have made it. He shouldn't have made it. He should have been stopped, and he was stopped, you know, because the Ku Klux Klan's an evil organization. But, you know, now, you know what? People accept a lot of things. And people who even make blasphemous statements, which I believe Jeremiah Wright and Father Flager both have, and Louis Farrakhan definitely has. And, you know, these things are accepted. People say, well, that doesn't really matter. There's more important things like economics and all this type of stuff. Revelation 13:6 says the Antichrist, is the beast, is going to make blasphemous statements, blasphemous claims. And so these are things because of the atheism and the hatred of God in the world and in our culture. These are things that are already being accepted, you know, leaders that are tied, have ties to these types of things and questions about them, it's overlooked. Now, here's my last slide for the morning, and that's good because it's 10:30. And here's the final word we're going to make on this subject. As it is clear that this one-man world ruler will emerge, as so many others have, from the ashes of worldwide chaos and instability, could it be that the one final cataclysmic event, an event so destabilizing, so confusing in its impact, could be that this particular event could be the trigger that launches this man into his position of worldwide control. And I wonder, could that event be the rapture itself? I don't know. I do know that an event like the rapture has to contribute mightily to people searching for someone to give them answers. Now, you think about this. You know, we could talk about the suddenness of the rapture, the unexpected nature of the rapture, the coming like a thief in the night aspects of the rapture, but consider the next day. Let's say it happens at night, just for sake of discussion. Consider the next day. There are going to be millions missing from this earth instantaneously. From every country on earth, every tribe, every tongue, people are going to have disappeared. You talk about chaos. All of the things we've seen and all of the movies that have tried to be made to portray this. You know, if you got a whole flight crew and now you don't have, except on overseas flights, where you have a backup crew because there's such long flights. But on domestic flights, you don't even have three people in the cockpit anymore. You don't have a flight engineer in the cockpit anymore. You've got two pilots. What if they're both saved? Who's going to fly the plane? Now, most of the time when they're up there cruising, the plane's on autopilot, so it'll fly around until it runs out of fuel. You know, you've got drivers. You know, I'm telling you right now, if I'm alone in my car on US 23 driving, the rapture happens, there's not going to be anybody in my car. Then there's not going to be anybody in yours either. That's going to happen all over the world. And all in the large cities, you know, you talk about traffic pileups. You know, just start thinking about this. And start thinking about all of the confusion and the mass hysteria, you know, that this is going to trigger worldwide. That could be the event where this man has already been in a position of leadership and everything, but he steps up and says, let me take it. You know, we need leadership. People are going to be looking to somebody to step up. And you know it's going to be the Antichrist at that point in time. And folks, what my goal has been these 15 sessions and with the things we talked about today is to show you that man is the table being set for it all to happen. And what's happening in America right now is setting the table for government and government control, and so easily could a one world ruler step in and just take over the apparatus with all the technology available. It's hard for me to see how we could be very far away from the Lord's return. I don't know the day. I don't know the hour, but I will tell you this. We better be ready. And we better be busy, because it's coming, and I think it's coming pretty soon.